Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy. Last week, as we looked at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, we came to understand that the unknown writer of this book, who I believe is Dr. Luke, wrote to early Christians persuading them to endure. To endure. And with good reason. And listen, we need to endure. Amen? We really need to endure. Past two weeks, really. I didn't say this during praise and testimony, but I want to thank God for my wife, because if it wasn't for my wife, she had to look at me yesterday and say, "It's okay." Normally she's just like, "Get over it." Yesterday she saw me and she said, "Honey, it's okay. It's really okay." I mean, it was one of those moments. Yeah, preachers have them too. Don't look at me like, you know, self-righteous. I know y'all have them too. But we have to endure. We learn that those who were Christian witnesses before us, and how our witness to the world was now being watched today, and should motivate others to keep enduring until Christ returns for His church. We learn that to endure, we must lay aside the things that weigh us down, sins that don't allow us to be all that Jesus wants us to be for Him. We saw that to run this race that God has given us, that we must also keep our eyes focused on the one who gave us everything. And that's Jesus. Y'all know that, right? Everything you have. It doesn't matter how, you know, I work for this. No, Jesus gave it to you. He gave it to you. We learn that the two greatest reasons for enduring that we need to remember is that the rewards are great. Brother Kyle, what are we going to get for enduring? I don't know, but it's better than anything you have here. The greatest possession that you have, the thing that you think is the most valuable to you and for you, is nothing. It pales in comparison for the rewards that God has waiting for you if you will endure. The second reason we endure is because our Father's watching us. Boy, if we could always remember that, huh? That Jesus is watching us. Now, conceptually, Miss Desi, we know that. But oftentimes we do things or say things, or we're someplace where we shouldn't be. That it's like we've forgotten that our Father, Jesus, is watching us. He's cheering us on to the finish. Now, today, I want us to see words that can help us to overcome anything. Y'all ready for that? Y'all want some of that? Yeah. I want us to see words that could help us to overcome anything. Words that will help us to endure to the very end of life if we will pay attention. So look at Deuteronomy chapter 31, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6. Deuteronomy 31, verses 1 through 6. Then Moses continued to speak these words to Israel. Now all Israel was listening to Moses. At this point, it could have been between 2 and 3 million people listening to what, and they didn't have an amphitheater. He's just speaking to the people before they cross over into the promised land. He said, saying, "I am now 120 years old. I can no longer act as your leader. The Lord has told me, you will not cross the Jordan," being Moses. He wasn't going to see it. "The Lord your God is the one who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will drive them out. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, as the Lord has said. The Lord will deal with them as he did Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and their lands when he destroyed them. Then the Lord will deliver them over to you, and you must do to them exactly as I've commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified or afraid of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." Let's pray. Father, we come to you asking forgiveness of sins again, Lord. Asking you to forgive us where we fail you. I pray that every person under the sound of my voice, wherever we are, Lord, we would be settled. The things around us will be of you. Help us, God, to hear from you, to listen to what this message is saying, not because of me, the messenger, God, but because of you. Help us, Lord God, to hear from you this morning, because we need you. Thank you, Lord, that we have your word to get us through every aspect of life. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. Where the Hebrew children are right now is a very scary place. The words that we just heard spoken by the leader of the Hebrew children, Moses, proved to us and showed to us that there's a lot of fear in the camp. A lot of fear in the camp. Brother Kyle, how can you see that? I don't see it. If you study the words, those words would not have been spoken, Colin, if the people weren't in great fear. The people were afraid. And you might even be able to say that they had a right to be afraid because of all the stuff that was going on at one time. Isn't that how it usually happens? Things just don't happen like, okay, it's been 3 months, something bad happens. And then, Gary, there's a long stretch. It might be 2-3 years, and then, you know, before something else bad happens, right? That's not how it, I don't know if that happens in your life, but that's not how it happens in my life. It really doesn't. It seems like every time something bad happens, it happens in threes or fours or fives, right? And it doesn't, it's not something small. I mean, it's like, you know, you've had a long day, junk has just piled up time and time and time again, you know, just you, it's craziness, and you're finally, it's 9 o'clock at night, you're sitting down, you're relaxing, you're just doing what you want to do, and you hear a boom, 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 and your wife falls in the bathroom, and she just slammed her head against the floor. Has that ever happened to y'all? Happened to me this week? Yeah. I mean, you're not supposed to start falling until you're 80, right? I mean, no. Everybody says, you know, when you turn 40, your body starts hurting. When you turn 50, you really start to feel the aches and the pain. Well, I mean, we're slipping and falling now, y'all. Really. But the Hebrew children, they had great reason to fear in their minds. And Moses is trying to remind them this morning that they really don't need to. Now, church, it seems as we read the Old and New Testament scriptures, there were always good reason for either the Hebrew children or Christians to fear. Somebody was always chasing them. Somebody was always persecuting them. Somebody was always wanting to kill them. The Romans were always in the New Testament trying to take Christians and take them to the Colosseum and kill them. I mean, I could go on and on and on. If you look at Old and New Testament, there's always a reason to fear. But God. But God. But God. The days that we live seem to be about the same. As I thought about this, you know, let's say Fear Factor. Let's call it Fear Factor. Y'all remember the old TV show? Let's call this the Fear Factor. The only real time in my life where there was not a little thought of fear was when I was a child. Boy, those were great times. You didn't know. You didn't know nothing was going on. All you knew was Andy was outside and they were getting a pickup game of touch football in the road and you wanted on the right side of the team. Right? A new house was being built right down the street and there was a scrap pile of lumber and you wanted to get that piece of plywood that would make the perfect ramp. Right? All you knew is when you were going to Kmart, Mama was going with you, and you needed oil so you could oil the bearings on your skateboard because they were all rusty. You'd been wearing it out. That's what you worried about. You worried about who was going to drive you to the skating rink on Friday night because Mom said, look, I ain't going this week. That's what we were worried about. Nothing else. Nothing else. From the time I was old enough to know what was going on in the world, the world has always, church, always cast some sort of events to cause those who were paying attention to fear or to have some sense of fear. Church, do you know that fear will cripple you, right? Fear will cripple you. Fear will cripple me. Fear will cripple us. Fear will cripple the church. I have honestly heard pastors say, listen, I think this is the direction the Lord is leading us to go. And leadership says, listen, I don't think that's a good decision because this might happen. You know what that is? It's fear. Fear will cripple us. Since this virus started in March, do you even recall what we have had the thought of fear concerning? Have you added it all up? I did this past week. Since March. Now, if you take everything as it comes to you, just one at a time, it's like, well, it's Cheerios. I'll eat Cheerios this morning. You wake up the next morning, and Cheerios are gone. I'll just eat the Raisin Bran. Raisin Bran's it's what's eaten last at the house. Y'all know that, right? And it always tastes like the Tupperware container. I like Raisin Bran. But you wake up the next morning, the Raisin Bran's gone, and the Fruit Loops are gone, and, I'll have a piece of toast, bread. If we look at it like that, it's not that big of a deal. But if we stop and look at the whole scope of what we've had to fear since March, listen, it's overwhelming. It's consuming. Listen to this. The first thing that we had to fear since March is the virus itself. When it came onto the scene, we just, it's the coronavirus. And I was like, it was some sort of virus last, and, the mad cow disease, and this can't be that bad, right? But then they started saying, this is what happens. And then somebody in the church says, this is what the virus actually does to your body. It gets in your lungs, and it causes scars inside. And the scars never really repair themselves, so you have that damage for the rest of your life inside your lungs. And so you've got this fear of the unknown, and then the unknown becomes the known, and then you start hearing all over the world what's taking place, and you've got this fear, and this fear is driving you wondering, okay, when's it going to come to my hometown? It's inevitable. It's going to, at some point in the time, me analyzing all this, I was just about ready to start licking doorknobs just to go ahead and get it and get it over with. Right? Anybody, can I get a witness? Can I get a testimony? I just want to get it over with, get it on, and get it, get the antibodies. I mean, I don't even know if that's, get past it. But we had this fear of the virus. And then the fear of not having things for the virus. We didn't have Lysol. Woo! Listen, that was, y'all, I'm not playing. That was a fear. And I'll tell it right now, the woman on the front row had the fear. We had a half a can of Lysol. You could not find Lysol anywhere in Savannah. We looked it up on Amazon, and there was a can selling for $80. A full can wrapped. I'm cheap, y'all. I ain't paying for it. And Angela gave Amy a can of Lysol. She's probably wishing she wouldn't have now. We have this fear of not having the things we need. We didn't have Lysol, bleach, cleaning supplies, and the big one, toilet paper. Some of y'all are still grieving right now because you can't find the good stuff. Really? Y'all think y'all are laughing and this is humorous. It is, but I mean, this was real. People were in fear. I saw people. They'd post on Georgetown Facebook page. Does anybody know where so and so is? Does anybody? And listen, that Big Lots just got toilet paper in. You better go. You better get it quick. And there were people just zoom. What do y'all do with this toilet paper? What is it that you do? I mean, honestly, when all this happened, I had the foreknowledge. I had just bought groceries, Joe. Joseph, I'll buy the big pack, and then Amy didn't know that I'd bought it, and she bought a big pack, so we had two big packs, and we just ran out a couple weeks ago. I mean, what have y'all been doing with all this toilet paper? But there was a fear
of not having the things that we needed when we needed them. Listen, we then heard people who were in fear of losing their jobs. People feared losing their business. People were in fear of going to lose everything in church. Some did. Some have. I've got some friends in Charleston. They've pretty much lost everything. As people were losing their jobs, the economy tanked. And there was a national fear that the dollar would have no value. I mean, it had to have gone through y'all's mind as well, because it went through my mind. I mean, do I need to go and get all my money out of savings and buy a box and put it under my bed? And that thought ran through my mind. It really did. And then I thought, well, I mean, if the dollar loses all its value, it doesn't matter whether it's in the bank or whether it's in your back pocket. It's gone. It's gone. Right? And now we have a coin shortage. I don't know if y'all saw it or not. All they have to do is all these wishing fountains that people have been throwing money in, wishing the virus was away. Just go get all those coins out. Go downtown, get all the coins out of the fountains. We'll take them down. Even at the hospital at St. Joe's, there's a fountain right there. Y'all, that drives me crazy. I walk in the hospital and I see quarters. I've seen a half a dollar sitting in there, Miss Desi, and I'm like, God, I mean, how do you throw a quarter away? Just, psh. I mean, I'm a whole lot better off right now than I was when we first got married. But listen, I just can't do it. I'm still picking pennies up off the ground. I picked one up the other day, and the guy says, oh, hold on, I saw that with his own tails. I don't care. I don't care if it's sitting on the side, if it's on the, I'm picking it up. We might have the coronavirus. Spit on it, wipe it off, put it in your pipe. Go. It's money. As the month of April and May came along, people were now fearing they were going to die of this virus. Local government started grasping at straws, mandating the wearing of masks as businesses slowly started reopening. Things started looking a little hopeful. Things started really, we were so... Bless the Lord. I mean, we were just excited because things were, look, the sun was coming out. And then a bad cop killed George Floyd. And all of America went crazy. And rightly so. Everybody was upset. I didn't know anybody who wasn't upset about what they saw on that video. Everybody was mad. Everybody. Somewhere around this time, the price of meat, if you could find any meat, skyrocketed. And people were in fear again, once again in fear, as the word spread that meat markets were shutting down and that major meat producers were being bought up by the Chinese. The meat would be raised in America and taken to China to be prepared for the consumer. Now, this kind of got me off kilter, too, because, I mean, y'all know where all this virus started, right? So they're going to raise our meat here, send it there to be processed, frozen, packaged, and then send it back to America. And I don't know what you ladies do. I don't know what y'all do, but when Amy orders on Amazon, you see this beautiful display, and it says so-and-so, and oh, yeah, I order that. And if it takes more than like a week or two to come, y'all know where it's coming from, right? When the package comes to the house, y'all, I watch her. She methodically looks that thing over to find out where it's come from. And she'll cut it open, and if it's come from China, that's where the Lysol goes, y'all. Sprays it down. Tries to kill it. Then came the protest and the riots all over the country. That started off peaceably and then was infiltrated by people whose desire, their only desire, was to bring America to our knees. Mayors all over the country told the police force to stand down. I'm still not getting over that, y'all. Can y'all imagine a police officer rounding the corner and he calls in to headquarters, this is car 57. I learned this from, TV. Headquarters, this is car 57. I just rounded Main Street
and there are about 300 people, and they're surrounding this, and that, and they've got Molokai cocktails and bats. You know, what do you want us to do? Can you send help? Car 57, stand down. Is there anybody in here that makes sense to? This is what I, car 57, please remain where you are, wait for backup. We're going to disperse the crowd. I don't get it. I really don't. And many cities were destroyed to the point of major employers leaving everything behind and relocating in areas where protests were not happening. When they did this, they were leaving in their wake even more economic devastation. Fear. The great national debate started over whether or not the mandatory masks were even making a difference. Social media was a war zone for keyboard politics for the last 3 months, with friends at each other's throats over things, over many things, but it all surrounded one thing. Do we have a legitimate reason to fear? That's what I want to know. It really is. I've spoken with many people this past week about the mask issue. If you just scroll down one, you pick, it doesn't have to be Facebook, look at Twitter, any of them. You look at any social media outlet, any news outlet, there'll be one article that says scientists say that if you wear a mask, the magic number, 14 days, it'll be knocked down. You scroll just 6 news articles down, and it'll say the exact opposite, giving scientific information. Do what you feel you need to do to be safe. That's the only thing that I can tell you that I know is true. Do what you think you need to do to feel safe. Do we have a reason to fear? What do we fear? What should we fear? Is there really any reason to fear at all? Look at one thing. Last thing. Look at one thing. Just look at our schools. Y'all been paying attention this past week? Last week, Amy was told that this Friday that the Beaufort County School District would come together and they would tell the teachers what was going on. It's Sunday, y'all. She still don't know. She still doesn't know. She came in I could tell she was upset. And I mean, I tried to do what she did to me this past week. And I said, honey, it's okay. Just calm down. She said, I just want to know what I'm teaching this year. I don't care. I know I'm going to be teaching. I'm probably going to be teaching online, or I'm going to be teaching at school, or I might be teaching online and school. I just want to know what subjects I'll be teaching, just to be prepared. Church, this is crazy. All this fear, all of this. I mean, what's going on? Well, let's step back for a second. What is it that the Hebrew children were in fear of in our scripture this morning? I believe it'll help us with all this fear if we'll see what they were in fear of. Because honestly, Ricky Tyre, people could look at that long list that I just gave. You know, we've seen fear tactics or fear factor since March. And some people would look at it and say, oh man, that's not that bad. Right? But what were the Hebrew children in fear of? Our scripture gives us several issues that were of great concern to the Hebrew children, and Moses addresses each one of them. The first concern is that Moses is about to die. He's about to die. He will not be the one who leads his people into the promised land. Their real concern is that Moses will not be there to be with them any longer. Church, think with me for a second. Think how long, Sharon, it took Moses to gain the respect and the favor of the people.
holy moly. You think about the time that he came into Egypt and says, look, you know, guys, I know y'all aren't going to believe this, but God has sent me back here. He's told me I'm going to lead you out of here. No, you're not. Look, we don't want any more problems. As things progressed and Moses tried to take a stand with Pharaoh, the people got more of a beating. Y'all remember? They didn't jump on board right away, Alec, and say, okay, listen, we believe you. After they got more beatings, they were like, dude, you need to leave. Just get out of here. Go away. It took years, over 40 years, for the people to put their faith and trust in Moses. And Moses is now telling them, listen, I know I've been telling you about this promised land and God's going to lead us there, but I'm not going to be the one who does it. They were afraid because the leader they've come to trust was about to die. They also feared the unknown of how Joshua would lead them. I am perfectly aware. I know that 9 years ago when y'all were looking for a pastor, y'all were praying. I know y'all were praying. And I was praying. But when God called me and I started here in December of 2011, there were some of y'all, probably, I know at least one of y'all who's in this room right now, who was in fear of how I was going to lead this church. And that's an understandable fear. And that's what the Hebrew children were fearing. They feared the unknown. They knew Joshua, but they didn't know how he was going to lead. They had no idea what was going to take place. Now, they had to become comfortable with Moses, and they would have to become comfortable with Joshua. When in all truth, our scripture this morning tells us that God himself would be the one to lead them into the promised land. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, the Lord your God is the one who will cross ahead of you. God's going to lead them. Now, church, they also had another fear. They also feared the people who were in the land that God had promised to give them. Now, you do remember the first time Moses had sent spies into this land, right? Into the promised land. You remember that only two of the 10 men who were sent out to spy on the land came back with a positive report, right? Y'all remember that? So you have two over here that gave a positive report, and they were who? Joshua and Caleb gave a positive report. 8 of them were scared to death of the people they saw there. They were scared to death. They were outnumbered. It was like, guys, you don't know what we saw. That there are giants over there. The land is flowing with milk and honey, and they brought produce back. But we can't do it. But we can't do it. But I want you to remember, I'm just going to turn there. You don't have to turn there. Let me read Numbers chapter 14, verse 8. It says this, and this is Joshua's words. I mean, he just can't believe what he's hearing from the people after they come back from the first spy trip. Verse 8 says, Joshua says, if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us into the land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and give it to us. Did it say we'd have to pay? He said, give it to us. He'll just give it to us. Only don't rebel against the Lord. And don't be afraid of the people of the land. For we will devour them. Their protection has been removed from them. And the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. Did the people listen to Joshua then? No. And because of that, they wandered for 40 years. They were now at the threshold of the Jordan looking into the promised land. The night before, Moses was allowed. He wasn't going to walk in, but he was allowed to see into the promised land. And this fear is encapsulated them. Church, the Hebrew children also feared once they possessed the land that they would be under constant attack by those who remained in the land. Joshua addressed this issue as well in this morning's scripture. God had told them to destroy all the inhabitants of the land. Now, this may seem like a terrible thing for God to be telling his people to do. But if you'll study the Old Testament scripture, you'll see that God had given every one of these people a chance to align themselves with the Hebrew children. In other words, to accept God as their God. God had given them the chance, sometimes more than once, to accept him. And they, every one of them, all these people groups, refused. At this time in Bible history, to refuse to line up with the Hebrew children was to deny and rebel against God himself. God promised his protection. Yet the Hebrew children, they still feared. Now, this isn't me offering my protection. Can y'all imagine seeing, you know, something take place? And y'all, listen, don't worry. I'm here, okay? Look, Brother Kyle's here. See? I'm going to protect y'all. No. Hey, wake up. Listen, this is God. This is God saying, Dan, I'm going to lead you. I'm going to protect you. Now, if you had to follow either me or God, which line are you getting in, brother? Yeah. Listen, if I said, I'll protect you, and God says, don't worry about him, I'll protect you. Yeah, listen, y'all don't worry about me. God's going to protect us. Right? I'm getting in line with God. But they still feared. They still feared. But there's a message for our fear. Y'all ready? Thank God. Kumbaya. There's a message for our fear. This is a word for today as it was in the day that it was preached. You ready for it? Here we go. Number one, be strong. Listen to what he says. He says, be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified or afraid of them. Church, be strong. I think of many things when I think of this scripture. But the one thing that sticks out most is a movie scene from the movie The Patriot. Any of y'all ever see that movie, The Patriot? The whole beginning of the war, I mean, it's building up to the final scene where Mel Gibson's out there and he has planned an attack with the colonel, and he says, listen, this is what we're going to do. We are notorious, the Patriots are notorious for coming up to a battle line. When everything starts firing upon us, we'll fall back, we'll run away, and all those who have come and they're volunteers, all the volunteers will run away, and the main army is left there susceptible and just run over. He said, this is what we're going to do. He says, the military, the vast majority of the military is going to stand down there at the bottom of the hill. We're going to send our militia up front, and when they become fired upon, when they see that they're going to be overcome, they're going to run back. The enemy, the British, are going to pursue us, and when they top that hill, we're going to lay it on them. So it starts. It starts, and they do that very thing. And when the British top the hill and they see the armies, they're quickly overcome, and the Americans, woo, da-da-da-da, y'all, that's us. We charge that hill, and we start taking the British, and then it's backwards, back and forward, and back and forward, and all of a sudden, our lines start to break, and we start falling back. And old Mel Gibson looks over and sees that tattered American flag, and he picks it up and he starts waving it. He says, no, no, we move forward. We move forward. That is being strong, church. You don't give up. You never give up. You never give ground. I could have used a lot of illustrations, but I like that one. Be strong, church. But he says, be courageous. This means to be brave, daring, and bold. To have unshakable confidence. Now you might be saying, how in the world can you have such confidence when the odds are stacked against you? Joshua answers that question at the end of verse 6. He says this, for the Lord is your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. If Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, he is with you. Times are going to get worse. I've been saying this I mean, some of y'all are tired of hearing me say that. I've been saying this since we finally went through the book of Revelation. We got to Revelation chapter 6, and we started looking at the seal and who was worthy to open these seals. Miss Desi and I started getting scared because I could start really seeing the severity of what was taking place. This was definitely coming. It could not be stopped. Church, listen, fear is going to come every single day. I don't know what's coming tomorrow, but something is coming tomorrow that's going to cause us to fear again. What do you do? What do you do? Church, it seems like every single day we have something new to fear. Something new is reported to fear. There's nothing to fear if we'll just fear the Lord. There's nothing to fear if we'll just fear the Lord. What we desperately need to do is what Moses is telling the Hebrew children to do as they look across the Jordan into the land that God had promised them. Church, in the times that we live, be strong. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be terrified or afraid. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not, listen, he is emphatic here. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do you believe that this morning? Not because I said it, it's because it's in the Word of God. Do you believe that this morning? There's been many times that I felt alone and I've realized God's not, he's never left me alone. Never left me alone. Fear is coming knocking. Maybe when we walk out these doors, something might have happened during church and we're going to find out about it as soon as we walk through those doors and turn on the radio. Fear's coming. How are you going to deal with it? Do you know my Jesus? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we thank you for this day and we thank you for your message. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much that you gave us this instruction book, these 66 love letters from you to us that we might be able to read and to apply to our lives every single day. God, we pray that in the times we live that we put all fear aside. And Lord, we trust you. We would be strong and we would be courageous because we know that you're always with us. Help us this morning to remember that and to remember your love for us. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come and just spend some time at the altar? If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, will you come and let me show you what God's Word says each person must do? Will you come?